It's always good to have an opportunity to come and worship God, to preach His Word. Our desire, our goal for each one of us is to become the kind of people that God wants us to be. That's a challenge as human beings with all of our shortcomings, but we are confident that if we'll seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness in all that we do, we can become the kind of people that He wants us to be. And so we let God's Word be the transforming force in our lives as it needs to be. To be, as we just sang, men of God, people of God, to stand up and be counted in God's kingdom and the world around us. And so let's be challenged this evening as we have sung some songs this evening to be looking at a lesson that can maybe help us again remind ourselves of what God's plan is for His church. I recently spoke up in East Cheatham, in fact, this past Wednesday night, on the subject of the importance of elders. They asked me to talk about that, and I was glad to do so. It's always a joy to be up there with the brethren. I appreciate their desire to move in that direction and to address the subject of elders in the Lord's church. Jason Schoenholz is the local preacher there. He, like us at Broadmoor, works at a secular job. I preached that lesson on Wednesday and thought I'd do the same this evening. And to recognize in a very simple way, we I think, understand that here at Broadmoor, the importance of elders in God's church. I'm thankful for the honor to serve alongside Curtis and Norm for the last 7 years at Broadmoor. Always appreciate the prayers on our behalf as we do our best as earthen vessels to lead and guide God's people. But as I was challenged to look at this subject, I just took a fresh look at it and just looked at scriptures and just wanted to come away with what God says about the subject of elders or overseers in the Lord's church. I want to say that there's always, I believe, a need to talk about this for different reasons. Sometimes, because of jobs and work and career, elders have to move on. That happened with Jim Hawkins. My wife moved down here. So Colorado's loss was our gain. That happens. Also, sickness forces some elders to resign. Sometimes elders become too aged to effectively serve in that capacity. And as Broadmoor is concerned, we appreciate the work and service of Brother Hudson and Brother Andrews for all those years in overseeing this flock. So older age is coming, and sometimes we think that's way off in the distance, and then on a bright sunny day, and as I look in the mirror and I see the age spots and some gray hair, I say, you know what? We all get older. We all pass on. And that song, The Army of the Lord, reminds us of that solemn fact, and sometimes elders die. And so because of that, I hope you recognize the importance of the work that God has assigned to His church. And I would say at the beginning of the lesson that this is God's plan for oversight, for the oversight, growth, and spiritual protection of the local church, to have shepherds or elders who oversee the flock. And so I put together 7 points or lessons that I want to share with you this evening. They all come from Scripture. I actually had, when I worked on this lesson, came up with 6 points, and I added one more to make it a perfect number. So I kind of feel like 7's got to be the number you come up with. Instead of talking about the qualifications or the characteristics of elders, that can be reserved for a future lesson. We're just looking this evening at the importance from God's perspective of elders or shepherds, and I think it's important to interchange those words as we recognize the work of elders in God's kingdom. So we're just focusing this evening on the importance of elders from God's perspective. So let's take a look at a few things. I've got actually all these scriptures, I believe, on the screen. Feel free to turn to these passages if you'd like to. But in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, we see there that one of Paul's first concerns was to appoint elders in every church as shepherds of God's people. This is Acts chapter 14, verse 22, jumping into the text and with Paul's missionary journey there. It says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Verse 23, when they had appointed for them elders in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So we understand that Paul and Barnabas traveled about in this missionary journey. And No doubt they, of course, they established congregations in different places. And it's evident that one of the most important things that they needed to do with these newly formed churches was to appoint elders or shepherds over these local congregations. This particular word here in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, it said they appointed elders, and that may refer to men of age or dignity. It could be that these men were selected from some of the older, perhaps elderly men within the congregation. There's some judgment to be made about that, but they were chosen to serve, to shepherd the flock. And I think when it says that they were appointed with prayer and fasting, it shows the seriousness of this solemn responsibility. And that's something as we make decisions perhaps in the future about additional elders or additional deacons, I think it's always appropriate to do so with prayer and fasting, which I believe the appointment would take place in the assembly. Fasting would be something that would be done voluntarily. But again, it highlights the importance of the work of service and overseeing God's church. But I want us to notice also that elders were appointed in every church, not just in some churches or in some cities, but in every church. This is the order, the teaching of the New Testament. And in the New Testament, excuse me, try to clear my throat tonight. In the New Testament, they didn't have an elder or a bishop over many churches, but it was a plurality of men in every congregation. And as you look at the world around us and you ask the question, is that the practice of churches today? And obviously that is not. Most of you know that I was converted out of the Catholic Church many years ago. But in the Catholic Church, we would have bishops that were over multiple churches or multiple areas. Again, when you look at the world around us, very few people are following the pattern here. And again, you see that there, when you look at Scripture, there's always a plurality of men, so you never have one man ruling. But the point I simply make here is that when Paul, along with Barnabas, would go back on these missionary journeys, the first thing that they would do was to appoint elders in every church, again, showing the importance of that. Secondly, I want to suggest this evening, and I have to confess that this clock is going to throw me off tonight because it hasn't moved. And I'm sure I've talked 5 or 6 or 7 minutes, so I'll have to forget about the clock and focus on my lesson. But the second point I want us to notice is that overseers and deacons are a part of God's blueprint for local church government. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 is a passage that we often go to. And here Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. And he gives the message, grace to you and peace from God our Father. So the point I would make here is that we, in this passage of Scripture, we kind of have a snapshot picture, not a Snapchat, but snapshot picture of how the Lord's church is established and how it's overseen. We have elders and deacons, overseers and deacons within the local congregation. And it's interesting to notice, as we talk about this subject this evening, the importance of elders, and we all have a place and a part to play in God's kingdom, but it's interesting to notice that, as one commentator said, the only two classes of officials, if you want to use that term, in the local New Testament church, at least as I see it, understand it, are overseers and deacons. Those are the positions of service and leadership that God has appointed. And I'll say this, we very often think that if we hire a preacher or find a preacher for a local congregation that we have arrived. I remember in my early days, I would think that once you get a local preacher, that congregation has really arrived. But the reality, preachers do an important work, obviously, but they serve under the oversight of elders, shepherds within the Lord's church. And again, the point I would make here is that this represents God's wisdom in God's design. We ask the question, how the churches organize themselves today? What type of government, if that's, we want to use that word, the churches often use? Very often, you have a pastor rule, one man sort of being over everything. But this is God's blueprint. You think about it in terms of an architect. This is his design. And our desire is to obviously imitate that and follow that. So we see then, secondly, that that overseers and deacons are a part of God's blueprint for local church government or oversight. Number three, and again, this is from Ephesians chapter 4. I want to suggest to us that shepherds or elders are a part of the gifts that God gave to his church. So when you look at Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to jump in there to verse 11. As Paul is seeking to build up the body of Christ there at Ephesus, it says that he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and this is all from the ESV. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Man, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you look at that list there, and he mentions several things, but one of them is shepherds or elders. And there are others as well. But the point I make here is that if God gave these gifts to his church, and obviously it's very important for us to recognize that and to follow that to the best of our ability. So apostles are in that category, prophets, evangelists, teachers. Again, it's a reminder within the body of Christ, we all have a part to play, a place to fulfill or to fill in God's church. And in this passage, he reminds us, this is by God's design, that the shepherds, along with these other workers, were a part of the gifts that God gave to the church. And so, again, that simply helps us to recognize the importance of each of these gifts in God's church. The fourth point that I want us to notice, and it's, again, I just kind of took a fresh look at this subject as I was preparing for this lesson originally, but to recognize in this, from Acts chapter 20, verse 28, that the Holy Spirit is the one, quoting from Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Holy Spirit is the one who made you overseers. Look at the text over here. As Paul is giving a farewell address to the church at Ephesus, to the elders, he's actually addressing the elders at Ephesus, and this is what he says over there. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. He said, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will men arise, speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. This is a very interesting passage to consider. So the first thing I want us to understand then, is by way of emphasis, is to understand that the Holy Spirit is the one who is identified as making the appointment, excuse me, for elders in the local congregation. And I would say this, perhaps, that the Holy Spirit's role in doing this, it would be, when we search out within a congregation, men who have the characteristics and qualities necessary to lead God's church. So I would say that's how the Holy Spirit appoints elders. And maybe some others have different views on that, but the text very clearly says that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, and what we have in Scripture is the God-breathed Word. And so when God breathed out His Word and gave us the description and characteristics and requirements of church leadership in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, He's basically laying, again, a blueprint for oversight, for supervision, for leadership in His church. And so I just say that I think as we observe the Holy Spirit-inspired message, especially the characteristics and qualifications listed in these passages, that would be, I think, how the Holy Spirit makes you overseers. And I want you to notice in this text also, and I could have highlighted this, the very first thing, as Paul writes to these Ephesian elders, he knows that he's not going to see them, if I remember correctly, maybe never again. He says, number one, pay careful attention to yourself. So the first responsibility, I would say, for shepherds, for overseers and elders is to watch out for our own souls. And so he gives sort of a solemn warning there. He said, take heed to yourselves. We need to understand that temptation surrounds every single person, including elders. The temptation for sexual purity, false teaching, partiality, pride, greed, those are real things. And we're all human beings, and we face temptation. So what Paul says to these shepherds in Ephesus, as you oversee the flock, the first responsibility you've got to do is look at your own soul and guard your own heart and mind against sin, understanding that you can fall if you're not careful. I was reading some comments from H. Leo Bowles in his commentary on this passage, and he mentions that that no fewer than six major false teachers started in the church at Ephesus. And I'll just quickly mention this. Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul's writing Timothy, young preacher at Ephesus, remain on at Ephesus that you may, you know, teach sound doctrine and perhaps appoint elders there. So Hymenaeus, Alexander, Phigelius and Hermogenes, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, and Philetus, also in 3 John 9, Diotrephes, I believe was also at Ephesus. Then when you come to the book of Revelation and Jesus gives his assessment of the churches, the church at Ephesus was given some pretty strong warnings about their leaving their first love and the false teachers that they had to battle there. So it's interesting to notice, again in this passage, that the Holy Spirit appoints elders, but what happens down in verse 30? From among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So it's a reminder again that as Christians, whether we serve as elders or Bible class teachers, whatever the role might be, that we have to be on our guard, all of us, and because temptation surrounds every single one of us. And I think we need to verbalize that more often than we do. We see people fall and stumble, and we forget that the battle is fierce. And so Paul said that the first responsibility is to look after yourself. And I think that makes sense. Secondly, he said to watch over all the flock from this passage. So pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. That is not just some members or some favorite members. But again, the point I'm simply making I was asked to address this lesson on the importance of elders or overseers in the Lord's church. The text says in verse 28 that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's a pretty solemn thought to contemplate. Again, quoting from H. Leo Bowles, he said, all who are elders today in a scriptural sense have been made elders by the Holy Spirit. So again, it's a reminder that we're committed to God's word, following his word, and implementing God's teaching in our lives. Number five, I want to suggest this evening as well, if we just look at the importance of overseers or elders in the Lord's church. Number five, I want to suggest that elders are charged to watch over the souls of members as those who must give an account to God. So look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, I've got on the screen. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, the writer is encouraging these Christians to obey their leaders or their shepherds. Obey your leaders and submit to them. He says, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Obviously, in the shepherding process, whether it's physical shepherds or spiritual shepherds, there's lots of concern and anguish as members may struggle and go into sin and false teaching and leave their spouses. All types of things go on there. So there can be a lot of anguish and groaning that goes there. So the writer of Hebrews encourages these Christians to submit to their leadership, to obey their leaders. Number one, they're keeping watch over your souls. And that, again, is a very humbling thought to think about, but it's also a solemn charge that elders have the responsibility to oversee the souls who are committed to their charge, oversee the congregation. And so, again, for any one of us, that is a very solemn thought to think about. And then he says also because they will have to give an account for this shepherding. And so the reality is shepherds, like in the physical pastoral setting, or they're trying to guard the flock from dangerous wolves. And that's what shepherds do. That's what elders do today. Our job is to point out false teaching. That's not a fun thing to do. It's not maybe fun to identify false teachers, but sometimes you have to do that. I appreciate Jeremy and Conrad and their teaching, not afraid to identify false teaching. We are in a battle, and Satan is out there trying to bring down as many souls as he can. And so our job is to watch over the souls of Christians, and understanding that there's an accountability that takes place here. I want to say also, when it says that these leaders are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account, I think maybe in my earlier days, maybe after my conversion, and thinking about a passage like that, it kind of filled my mind with a little bit of anxiety. Like, am I going to be accountable if I ever serve as an elder for the sins of members in the congregation? And I believe I don't believe that's what this passage is saying. But I think what it is saying is that as shepherds of God's people, our responsibility is to teach the truth, to warn Christians, and try to keep sin and false teaching out of a person's life and out of a congregation as well. So the accountability is not for the guilt of somebody else's sin, but rather how well we did in shepherding God's people. The passage that comes to my mind that illustrates this well is Ezekiel chapter 3. When God gave the charge to Ezekiel, he said, I've made you a watchman to the house of Israel. And he said, when you see, he basically tells him to warn the person who goes into sin, that's going to engage in some type of evil activity. He said, when you warn them, if they don't repent of their sins, they're going to be held accountable for their sins. But you have delivered your soul. But if you see the evil coming and you don't warn them, yes, they're still going to fall in the battle spiritually, but I'm going to call you to account for not speaking up. So I think that's the point here, that the writer of Hebrews is saying that elders give an account for watching over and protecting the flock. Well, number six, a couple other points this evening I want us to think about as we are simply focusing on the importance of elders or overseers in God's kingdom. And that is to say that God sets forth elders, I think, fundamentally, and I didn't know how to word this, but I think this expresses it pretty plainly. God sets forth elders fundamentally as role models for all Christians to imitate. Again, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 7 and 8, the writer says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And I say this, there's lots of ways that we can make a difference in people's lives through public teaching and private teaching and Bible studies and all that type of thing. But in a very basic way, I think, and this is one of the great ways that we teach one another, that we all do. I look at someone else's example, Brother Swafford or Curtis or John or whoever it may be, and I see a steadfastness, and I see characteristics that are godly, and I'm encouraged by that example. And I think in a very basic way, God uses elders or shepherds to be role models. And obviously that makes sense. And I'll say none of us are perfect. No elder is perfect. We're all imperfect in various ways. But we're striving to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And again, recognizing that in a very basic way, that what God is looking to accomplish from overseers, from these leaders, is an example for others to follow. And I think it's interesting that God doesn't tell Christians to imitate the teaching style of a shepherd or the personality or anything like that, but just imitate their faith. And also over here, it could well be that he's telling these Christians to persevere, to imitate the faith of their leaders, their shepherds. Many of these men have already perhaps had died. And one of the things I think the writer is saying here is, you know, these men are not going to disappoint you. They've lived their life to the best of their ability. Imitate their faith. They're going to their reward. And so, again, it's a challenge to imitate their example. And, again, I think God, in very often wants to teach all of us by way of being examples to one another. One other point that I want us to notice this evening, that as we seek to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to suggest that elders oversee the flock as servant leaders. Here's a passage that is compelling for all of us to think about. When Jesus is addressing the issues of personal aspiration and self-seeking glory, that type of thing, he said in verse 26, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you," look what he said over here, "must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." It's a reminder in the work of shepherding, this is not about receiving praise among men. That must not be the goal. It's interesting when you look at the character of an elder in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "If any man aspires for this work." So there's a reaching out in one's mind. But it's not self-seeking. It's not self-glory. It's for the glory of God, the glory of the church, and for the purity of the doctrine of Christ. So it's keeping all of those motives in check. But this is Jesus's definition of great servanthood. So anyone who's going to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. That we talk about that in Philippians chapter 2, the great example of Jesus. It says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Well, there's another passage I want to look at before we close the lesson this evening. As Peter is writing, we've been talking about him in our Bible class this morning. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. He said, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker of the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." Then he says, "Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." So once again, this is servant leadership. It's grown or born out of a position of humility. So when you look at the scriptures, as we seek, all of us seek to imitate Jesus Christ, we understand then that elders need to oversee the flock as servant leaders. Again, all of us are imperfect, but we are committed to being the kind of people that God wants us to be. And surely, as we bring the lesson to a close and extend the invitation this evening, we recognize the importance of elders and deacons. We didn't talk about that this evening. That wasn't part of the scope of my lesson. But we recognize God's wisdom for appointing elders and deacons within the Lord's church. Preachers, teachers, all of these are gifts that God has given to the church, and they're important for that very reason. And I think also that, as we've even talked about this morning, each of us have a role to play in God's kingdom. Maybe you're not going to be an elder, maybe not going to be a Bible class teacher, whatever the case might be, but we all have a role to play, and I think we're all challenged to grow in our faith, our love, our purity, our holiness, our compassion, and our courage as we fill God's place in His kingdom. And the qualities that we that need to prevail in our heart, no matter how we serve God, I think are the qualities of humility and love. We're all called to serve God with humility, with compassion, and maintaining the right perspective. So I appreciate the opportunity to address that this evening. If you hear this tonight and need to obey the gospel, or it may be that if you simply need the prayers of the congregation, we invite you to come forward while we stand and sing the invitation song.